What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's March 31st, 2026. We're recording this March 30th at about 1:30 p.m. on the West Coast. I'm Trey, and that's Mark. How you doing, Mark? We still have a king, I noticed. It's Monday. We had all this, I don't know if you know, but there was this big call for us to no longer have kings on Saturday. And I guess it didn't work. But maybe we can, you know, do that again. I'm not trying to be a smart ass. I went to one. I was in Burlington, you know. So you have to. They make you go to that in Burlington or else they deport you out of town. But
was it 8 million people nationwide? That was pretty cool. AWA 8 million people to leave their house to do anything in America. It's a pretty big accomplishment. I did see that, like, the same day of the No Kings protest, CPAC's going on in Dallas, and the biggest event they had was for Reza Pahlavi. So they don't just love Trump. They just love the idea of a king. They just want to be ruled, even if it's by the former Shah of Iran. Oh, Jesus Christ. It's Easter week, Trey. I hope everyone, happy Easter to all, all the believers out there. Hope you're looking forward to your ham, the Lord's pork. Before we get to the show, I want to talk about the White House rolled out, launched a new website this week, had a big event with farmers at the White House to celebrate it. It's onlyfarms.com, Trey. Which Corn Hub was right fucking there.
It was, especially, you know, because farmers only is already a thing, or at least it was. I don't know if farmers only survived the dating app wars, but it was a thing for a while there. So, you know, I'm saying this is even more likely to engender confusion, I feel like, than perhaps Corn Hub would have been.
So I guess the point of this is for farmers, it's an searchable map where you can click on your state to see the average amount that they've saved due to Trump's farming agenda. So, yeah, you might think you've been screwed because of no customers because of the tariffs, no fertilizer because of the war, but we're going to believe your bank account or this fucking website.
I know, that's what I was saying. It's like, presumably it's for the people who are being screwed or feel screwed by these things. So, hard for me to imagine if you're one of those people and you just, first of all, even finding out about the website or going to it in the first place, but you click it on and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess everything's fine. I guess I'm not hemorrhaging money and we're on the brink of collapse here as a, you know, as a business entity. This website says so. Although, you know, way some Trump supporters are, wouldn't surprise me, I guess. Like, he just says a thing and they're like, oh, okay, now I feel totally differently about that than I did right before you said that thing you just said.
I just like, because the reporter felt the need to ask whether this was an allusion to OnlyFans. They're like, yes, absolutely. So it's like, the whole idea is like it's a twist on OnlyFans where you can, like, farm kids can go and watch their dad get fucked. I don't really understand.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
My stepdad has his head stuck in a hay bale.
Gets railed by entire government, you know, or whatever.
Oh, these people have no idea. Like, I know that Scott Bessent, the Treasury Secretary, tries to make himself like a farmer because he owns a humongous ranch. He's a billionaire, has a humongous ranch in North Dakota or whatever. But, like, look at this announcement they had, the picture on the cover of the brochure. You can pull this up, Matt. It's a guy. See, if you zoom in, Matt, zoom in on the guy. He's giving a fucking hayride here. So their idea of what a farmer does is give hay rides. So did your grandpa kill himself after the soybean market disappeared? Try giving hay rides for money. This is a pretty common move for farms. You can't really make it as a farming concern anymore. You sell a lot of the land. You use the rest to build, like, a corn maze, a pumpkin patch, a Christmas tree farm. You turn the barn into a wedding venue. Not knocking it. Sometimes you can build a vineyard, make a little, like, wine tasting area. All good business ideas. But the entire Midwest cannot be a fucking wedding venue. It doesn't feel like a good economic model. So I want to read here some of the language from the website. Trump announced steps meant to ease some of the burdens Friday, including a new Small Business Administration loan program that will increase guarantees to 90% for lenders who work with small businesses in the agricultural industry. This sounds like a policy idea from Kamala's fucking website, dog. They're so cooked, they're doing centrist dim shit about, like, 40% of 30% of 90% of 10% if you live in a small business exclusionary zone. Like, if you wonder how fucking cooked they are, no ideas.
Is there anything substantive that could improve? Didn't the Supreme Court, like, strike down the tariffs or whatever, like... And then Trump was like, we're just going to do it anyway, but I don't know, whatever, you know, so what's up? Because a lot of the tariffs were fucking them, right? And I know that the war in the Middle East because of the fertilizer is a new problem that I'm sure they're thrilled to have. Mm. But, like, is anything actually easing, you know, the ways in which they fucked them over? Or are they just, or is it just a website that says, you guys are doing great?
Bro, we talked about the importing a bunch of Argentinian beef a couple months ago, right? Which fucking over American beef producers, beef farmers. But, like, China just banned the importation of Argentinian beef because it has, like, plastic in it or something. And so we're just not checking. Like, it's just everybody getting fucked here. But, like, I want you to read this quote here. This is from Trump's speech at the event.
Apparently, he said, and rain or shine, you don't mind. One thing about farmers, they don't care about that weather.
The only thing farmers care about is the fucking weather.
Yeah, they had a whole, like, almanac about it and everything. One of the first ever almanacs, I think, was, their entire... I mean, the agriculture as a concept was, like, from the very beginning of it, was pretty dependent on the weather. And, you know, back then they'd, like, do sacrifices and shit to appease the weather gods for a good harvest or whatever. But they've been thinking about weather since we, you know, hoed the first row or whatever the fuck.
Imagine you're a virgin about to be sacrificed to the sun god for a good harvest. And, like, you know, we don't actually care about the weather. Let's just cut this virgin's heart out for the fun of it.
Yeah.
But speaking of religious idolatry, they had a gold tractor there, Trey. They gifted Trump. We got this photo, Matt. A golden tractor. They're not beating the Antichrist allegations, I tell you that much. All you think was, like, behold, a golden tractor, and the one who sat on him was named Death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What? Where is that? Where's that going to go? Like,
Mar-a-Lago's parking lot?
How many different things is he going to be given? Do you know what I mean? Like, everywhere he ever goes, they have to give him a gift, an award, a present, or something to appease him.
They're having so many events for him. I didn't pull it for this because I knew what we were talking about. But, like, last night they had one where he was gifted, like, a sword, and he was dancing to YMDCA and waving the sword around. Like, what is this event? What is this? It's like they're doing a make-a-wish because his brain's gone. Everything gets a trophy. Like, he got, like, three different trophies last week. It's like, I don't know, man. Cheers.
Cheers. All right, with that said, you know, if you've been following the past few weeks, you don't do the plugs anymore, I will hit you with them at the end. But since I'm not doing that, we're just going to go ahead and start with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Today's DD, Marco Rubio, for listening to Public Enemy, but not being able to hear Public Enemy.
Of it. This has been an incredibly successful operation. Every day, they may not get covered because, you know, we're not bombing embassies and hotels. We're hitting military targets. But every day, the Department of War lets the drummer get wicked over every portion of Iran that has these military capabilities.
Let the drummer get wicked. Other rappers have used similar lines, but I mostly they associate with Welcome to the Terror Dome by Public Enemy. But, like, it's basically like, we have asked our allies to stop, collaborate, and listen. I'm trying to try a couple versions of this. We didn't tell Spain we're using the airspace because real G's move in silence like lasagna. All right? I think as elderly millennials, like, as millennials get old and Gen X gets old, approaches, you know, Gen X is already middle-aged. Millennials are approaching 40. When you have, like, a conversation about how to police each other on egregious use of rap lyrics, because using Public Enemy to justify a war of profit feels, like, extremely gross to me.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah, but, I mean, good luck with that. I don't think we have a lot of self-awareness around our, you know, the judicious employment of millennial rap songs. I see a lot of, like, you know, millennial moms drunk at a 4-year-old's birthday doing, like, you know, Move Bitch on the karaoke and stuff. And that's the fun version of it. I mean, you know, you can laugh at that. I mean, not if you're that kid, probably, looking back on it. That's unfortunate. But everybody else can laugh at it. And you know.
Yeah.
And yes, this was a glimpse into Corey's future, I assume. It's not four yet. But anyway.
Yeah. We probably thought that, like, one thing that happened with our generation is no age at which moms stopped twerking, I guess, is what we've invented.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah.
But like speaking of hip hop, the White House posted this. Like we're basically doing like the White House has cut off like independent satellite imagery. So like maybe they're being honest with us about how it's going, but we don't have any other way to know other than for like what Iran says, what the media in Iran and Israel says is going, and then what the White House tells us. The rest of the war is being conducted via memes. So the White House account posted this. If you got it, Matt.
And I see this. I it's so incredible.
Ding 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 ding.
Okay.
All right. So I guess the Strait's open now, or what? What are we supposed to do?
The White House posted that.
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not surprised, but my God, dude.
Iran could have posted that. It would make just as much sense.
Right. Yeah.
Because it looks like they're making fun of how weak and impotent it is. All I can do is fucking write stuff on a map, right?
Right.
So how are we losing the fucking meme war when like this is what the sexless 4chan incels are supposed to be for?
Mm-hmm.
Like what are they bringing to the White House if not doing that? But speaking of the sexless 4chan losers, Iran apparently has those too. Cash Patel's emails was hacked by something called the Hamdallah Hack Team, which I guess is run by Iran. They were used like this anonymous type rhetoric that was very aggrandizing. Like, we have defeated your impenetrable defenses type shit. But it was a phishing attack, right? They just tricked Cash into giving them his password, right?
Yeah.
What we learned from Cash Patel's private emails is he apparently likes to go to Cuba a lot and smoke cigars. You got this photo, Matt? Cool. When did like cigars become a status symbol again? It feels like a very recent turn, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, I think so. In the past 10 or so years, for some reason, I don't know. Joe Rogan, I think, has something to do with it. Or maybe he just jumped onto it. But I know that, like, dudes like that, it's a thing, you know, you smoke cigars. I don't know about you. I'm like, cigars never hit for me because I'm a dirtbag and I can't not inhale something that I smoke. And you're not, and furthermore, I've always been like, okay, so, but you're not supposed to inhale it. And they're like, no, you're not. And I'm like, well, what? Like, I don't get the point of them. I never have. It's like, if I'm going to smoke something, I'm going to fucking smoke it. I'm going to get all the way in there. Fucking really hurt myself with it, you know. Just hold it in my mouth bullshit. Fucking, but anyway, whatever.
What's the point of doing something that's not going to kill me? Yeah. Right? It's neither good nor bad.
I think it just won't hit ever and then finally kill you, you know. No.
Other things we learned in Cash's private email is that he apparently pays for X videos. Matt pulls this up, when you look at the date at which he signed up, Trey. January, he created his account, the other version I saw said January 6th, but I got really excited it was January 6th, but it's January 6th, 2020, so it was a year ahead of time. But yeah, this version says January 5th, so maybe I misunderstood my own joke. But also,
Spider Cash?
That's
his name.
Spider Cash. I was like, what? Because, like, the spider, he has this pins he hands out with his logo on it, the KSA, the K dollar sign H logo. I was like, but that's the Punisher. But if you look close to the Punisher logo, if you pull that up, Matt, like, inside the eyeballs, that's a spider. So he's invented, like, a hybrid Spider-Man Punisher logo that's Spider Cash.
So the spider thing is not just for his porn account, because I thought that might be a, like, you know, shooting webs thing. You know what I mean? I didn't know if that's where he was going with that. That thing you just showed, that you just put up there, he gives those out to people, like a business card type thing.
It's part of, I think it's like a challenge coin type thing as a gift to people, but like according to his personal merch brand, the K dollar sign H thing where he gives out, like, he gets his sweatshirts and hats and stuff. This is when he was basically podcasting and writing Donald Trump themed children's books when he was out of power when Biden was president. As far as the actual, like, they continue building troops up in the Middle East, and a bunch of Marines got a letter that was clearly drafted by AI from their commanding officer telling them to get their affairs in order, basically. But the brass are leaking to NatSec reporters, not Washington Politics reporters, people actually know what they're talking about, saying that there's no plans for a ground invasion, it's all a bluff, no boots on the ground. So somebody's lying to somebody, somebody's bluffing something, right? I don't know what's going to happen, but consider this is the first war in our modern tech dystopia. Tons of money is moving based upon guesses on this stuff on the prediction markets. I wanted to note this. An Air Force major was just charged with using classified information to place bets on Polymarket. This is related to a case. This is based upon the last Iran war, the 12-day war last summer.
Okay. I thought that was like encouraged, that type of thing.
It is by Polymarket, yeah, right? That's the thing. It's like,
I thought that made you smart or whatever. I thought that was the new philosophy about all that insider trading and any type of shit like that. It's like, it's all good to go now, I thought.
Right. It's supposed to, because it's more accurate information, because you're actually getting, because this is right. how the government.
That's what separates you from all the fucking suckers that lose the money or whatever. Yeah, right.
Right. So I'm telling you, I can't tell what's happening because everyone's lying, but someone who's not lying is someone inside information betting on it, right? Which is why I can't believe the government's haven't cracked down on this. Like, they're just now getting around to cracking down on this guy from last year's war when he leaked basically the dates of the attack and withdrawal, start and end dates of the war. And they didn't do much to rein this in. This is in a world where a bunch of people bet millions of dollars and on Ayatollah Khomeini, the last Ayatollah Khomeini, being removed from power by a certain date. And they bet he'd be removed from power, and Cauchy refused to pay out $54 million because they said they don't deal in death. So his death did not equate to being removed from power. They did not pay out $54 million. Now I want to say, I just want to spend a little time on this directly tied to death thing, because that's utter bullshit. Any version of Ayatollah Khomeini being removed from power would inherently involve a bunch of people dying, right? But they're saying they want you to bet on a specific person dying, and they keep acting like it's a morality thing, and it bugs me, right? Because what they're trying to talk around is they've created the perfect website that's a murder-for-hire platform, and they don't want to admit that's what they did. And because, like, sometimes when I explain criminal stuff to you on here, I do a very poor job of it, because what I've realized is I have the brain of a criminal, and most normal people don't. Okay. So if I wanted, say I wanted Trey dead, all right? Yep. What I do, I want you dead by next Friday. I go place a $50,000 bet that Trey will be alive next Saturday, and the free market takes care of the rest. I applaud with my ability. I literally bet that you would be alive. Mm-hmm. It's just the hitman is taking the other side of the bet and then killing you, right? And I'm not sure how, like, even if they did catch me and they tried to prosecute me, I'm not, like, you would have to explain to jurors that I'm ironically did a murder for hire. You know what I'm saying?
Right. You would, and then, so, and the way these work, you would then, when the hitman does kill me, you lose $50,000?
Right. I paid $50,000 to have you killed.
Have me killed, right, yes. Right.
Yeah.
But you bet that I would live, and ostensibly you want to win the bet. Who would want to lose a bet?
Your Honor, what are you saying? I wanted him dead. I literally bet that he'd be alive.
Yeah.
Right? So, what Cauchy's trying to prevent is being involved in geopolitics, because realistically, all the United States had to do is, like, literally put a $1 billion contract that Ayatollah Khomeini will be alive in 2 weeks and see what happens, right? Cauchy just doesn't want to be involved in that shit for pretty obvious fucking reasons. And they're acting like it's because they're too decent to trade on death. I was thinking about you just put a $1 billion bounty betting he'd be alive on whatever, and then, like, I was trying to pitch movie ideas about it. Basically, be Day of the Jackass, you know, like a high-end, just random Iranians trying to kill him. But the real danger in this stuff is not people profiting off inside information and betting on events, but altering the course of events to make bets pay off. Right? Like, what if this Air Force general had been in charge of actually deciding the dates, not just revealing them, but he gets to start a war and get paid for it, not just from his salary, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This case is pretty dystopian. This is from a story out of Israel from a week or two ago. A military correspondent for the Times of Israel named Emmanuel Fabian wrote a story about an Iranian missile landing in Israel. Then he started getting a bunch of messages and threats from people who bet on the event online. Basically, he wrote a short piece on the newspaper's live blog, just like in a day in the life of his neighborhood, about an Iranian missile that struck the hit near Jerusalem. And he wrote, the sirens went off, loud explosion shook people's windows. That story was posted normal. Then he got started receiving weird emails. It was somebody asking him to update the story to say that instead of a missile impacted the area, they wanted to write that it was a fragment, an interceptor fragment, and not a full missile. And he could not figure out why it was so important to them for him to update his story with. Maybe they were right, technically. He doesn't know. He's just a reporter writing about what happened. And why does it matter what he said?
Right.
Then he went on Polymark and found out there's a bet. Did Iran strike Israel on a certain day? And according to the rules of the bet, if a missile hit Israel, then that counts as Iran striking Israel. But if a missile's intercepted and the fragments fall down, that doesn't count as a strike.
Okay. But that's determined by a reporter publishing a, like, slice of life thing. Like, that's the determining factor in deciding that bet. You know what I mean?
It's evidence. It's evidence. But
who makes the call, though, in a case like that? Like, that's one account that this did happen. Who says... Who calls it? Says, okay, missile happened. Like, they don't
have... They have, like, an anonymous count of, like, council of cryptocurrency wizards. You literally buy onto a certain amount of crypto holdings in your account, and you get to decide whether or not the bet's paid off. But, like, you use stuff like news coverage to decide it.
Yeah, I don't... As someone who bets very casually on sports and stuff, I would never... You know what I mean? Like, with sports, there's, like, scores that happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like a touchdown either ultimately counts or it didn't or whatever. They make this many points or they didn't. It's objective. It's supposed to be part of the whole point of I can't imagine gambling on things that are that wishy-washy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that seems insane to me.
This is like emailing your sports editor trying to get him to change the Ravens-Titans score so that your bet pays off.
Right.
This is sort of what's happening here. So let me quote here. He started getting messages like this one. This is from an email he received. I would believe that we have the capabilities, and after you make us lose $900,000, we will invest no less than that to finish you, or you end this with money in your pocket and also earn back the life that you had until now. So I'm sure you're aware of like what's happening to athletes, to college athletes, or how they close their DMs and their social media and shit, because I can't imagine what Caden Boozer's fucking Instagram comments look like after the Duke game.
Right.
But now we're doing it with war reporters getting death threats because a fucking bet didn't pay off. And if you think we had a fake news problem before, we've turned random news consumers into mafia game-fixing goons. The only good news part of this is maybe we've stumbled onto a new news financing scheme, because Polymark and Kalshi literally can't exist without trustworthy news. So maybe they should fucking pay for reporters. But yeah, the real danger of this is someone could cut out the middleman and just bomb Jerusalem for profit. Like, why isn't Iran putting money on this and launching a bunch of missiles?
Right.
They can make the money they're not getting.
I mean, if you have the capability to bomb somebody and want to do it anyway, why not somehow game these markets to, you know, make money doing it?
Or what if you're in the IDF and your guys are charging in charge of launching the interceptors? What if you just don't push the button or unplug your computer for 10 seconds and say you had an error, let a missile hit and fucking collect more money in
the neighborhood you don't like anyway. And you made $2 million on it and fucking run off or whatever. And then you're,
And I was talking to my mom and sister about this, but like this is sort of like, we talked a lot at the beginning of the Russian invasion of Ukraine about how they went to start up their vehicles and like there were like wheels missing and fucking catalytic converters gone, no batteries and shit because of corruption. It was just all gone. And, like, you really can't let go of... You can't run a society based upon nothing but graft, or shit's going to get fucking wild. And I'm thinking about that in terms of, like, how much profiteering is going on with, like, Silicon Valley and Jared Kushner getting paid $5 billion from Saudi Arabia to do whatever he's doing now. There's just a ton of people violating their oaths with no obligation to, you know, God, country, their neighbors, family, or whatever. And a Marine was arrested a couple days ago in Arizona. I bring this up. I mentioned that stuff to bring this up. He stole a bunch of ammunition and a $250,000 Javelin missile system, which is a shoulder mounted anti-tank missile. Mm-hmm. $250,000 anti-tank missile. Not sure where he was going to sell it. But this guy got arrested. And my thing is, how are you telling this guy he can't fucking steal? Do you know what I'm saying? Everybody else is fucking getting rich.
Right.
Like, Trump did this thing this morning again where he pretended they were close to a peace fire with Iran for the half an hour before the markets opened. The Dow went up 400 points, somebody made a bunch of money, and it turns out the war is still going on, which of fucking course it is.
Right, but this guy's just a regular guy, though.
Yeah.
Like, right. regular people should understand by now that they can't do that.
Right.
You know, they're the suckers that lose from the, you know, the betting analogy earlier, you know.
But not because of honor or an oath to the Constitution or any sort of fucking code or the Ten Commandments or anything like that. It's just because you can't do it. If Jared Kushner had told this, it'd have been like, who's going to do anything? Right?
Right. Yep. All right. Honorable mention for Daily Dumbass, robots at the White House. For not being totally sure which one of you is the robot. Play it, Matt.
All right, so they just walked for like 10 minutes. But like, wouldn't it be funny if that robot just ripped Melania's arms out of the rust sockets right there? It's been berserk.
Yes, absolutely. Chest lights up red. It just throws her through a wall or whatever. Jumps through the ceiling.
Was it the thing said in RoboCop? Was like, citizen, you have 30 seconds to comply.
Yeah.
So what this is about, they have this event where, I got to play this clip because it takes a while to make sense of it. You got this next video, Matt.
Imagine a humanoid educator named Plato. Access to the classical studies is now instantaneous. Literature, science, art, philosophy, mathematics, and history. Humanity's entire corpus of information is available in the comfort of your home.
Okay. In the comfort of your home.
Yeah. Already pretty much the case, isn't it? I mean, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got Google. You can look that shit up. Human teachers can look that shit up anytime they want to, you know. Mm.
But she's what they're pitching is like, so this is a robot called Figure 3. It's a humanoid built in the United States. He told the group they're speaking to, which is the Fostering the Future Together Global Coalition, that it was grateful to be a part of this historic moment to empower children with technology and education. I need to emphasize that its maker, Figure AI, has advertised this model on launch as a household robot that can carry out tasks like laundry, cleaning, and doing dishes. But they apparently have rolled it into like an AI education thing, and they're going to have this robot made also homeschool your kids.
Uh-huh.
What they're pitching it as is basically a Tradwife bot 2000.
Right. And this would also be accompanied by, I assume, like public schools shuttering all over the country. And that
there you go.
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, right. And then only like rich families can afford the teacher bot or whatever, which probably sucks anyway, I would assume. Yeah. But yeah, no.
One of the many freakouts we had during COVID about school closures was when teachers wore masks, it was that kids couldn't see social cues from the teachers' faces and therefore weren't learning like to be socialized correctly or learning, getting the full learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got literally a robot with no face you're going to say is going to teach your kids.
Right.
And
pivoting to that because they couldn't figure out the laundry part? Because that's like way harder than they thought it would be, apparently, laundry and dishes and stuff. Because we don't think about it as a human being. Using dishes as an example, as a human being, like, will you pick up a cast iron skillet to wash it or whatever, and then you pick up a wine glass to wash it, you don't have to think about not shattering the wine glass immediately or the differences between those two materials and how to handle them differently and how, you know, the pressure and your fingertips, how you squeeze it. Like, we just do all that without thinking about it. But a robot has to be programmed how to do all of that, and that shit's like really fucking hard to do, apparently. Let's just have them teach all the kids instead. We'll just have it run YouTube videos on its face for fucking 8 hours a day, and that'd be pretty cool, too. That's close enough.
I'm laughing because I realize what the robot they've made is basically Lenny from Mice and Men, just choking rabbits.
Yeah. Well,
at the same time, the first thing they're trying to do with it is they to give him a hand job. Yeah. So, basically, yeah, they bootstrapped educating your kids onto this robot made on top of its programming and pretending like that's what it was originally made for. But it's like, I don't want to read to the kids, have the robot made do it. But like, I this stuff baffles me because I feel like people think kids go to schools to get downloaded information into,
right? Which is part of the experience. Socialization and all that shit is so important. That's why COVID was such a huge problem with kids and education and stuff, was because of that. Like, so many kids got set back and stuff because of, like, just not even because they were still being given the information via Zoom or in a Google Classroom or whatever, like virtually, but they're just sitting at home and they're not actually there at school anymore. And it fucked a lot of them up, because the actual being there with other kids their age and everything is hugely important. Everybody on planet, look, sorry, no offense to anybody out there, but, you know, you all know a homeschooled kid when you see one, I feel like. You know what I mean? It's like, there's a stereotype for a reason. They're sweethearts, but they're a little off. They're a little strange, usually. They're not like the rest of the kids. They got a weird energy to them, homeschooled kids do. And they're just trying to homeschool the entire, you know, an entire generation. That's not a good idea.
Yeah, I was like, my sister's a teacher. We were talking about this. It's like a lot of why kids go to school is to learn how to be human.
Yeah, right.
And then you're going to have a robot do the job. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, it doesn't. You literally can't do the job. But but you brought up COVID schooling. Like, I think it's a good to bring it up, because like, kids missed like a year and a half. Maybe a lot of them didn't even miss a full year. Maybe a semester of like in-person learning. And they literally have a large social movement among kids in their early 20s hitting themselves in the faces with hammers to look better.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I feel like, you know, I feel like maybe has some lingering effects. Mm-hmm. So I want to get into, like, the right's obsession with AI ed tech, but it's basically just this, if you have this next video, Matt. It's just the normal things. We're all just cogs in a machine, and we should be cheaper.
This room is filled with extraordinary human capital.
All right. Have you ever looked at, next time you're on stage, Dre, just be like, this room is full of extraordinary human capital. Just like, if you want to talk about just like, you know, feedstock purposes, you guys are grade A beef.
Right.
But I do want to mention, they've given Melania the weirdest side quests in Trump too. And this version, they seem to have given her like an Elon firmware update. So yeah, everything's going great over there. So they really do want to allow more people to homeschool, right? That's kind of what this bot's for. It's not going to work, but that's the idea here. They're trying to offer something to talk about. And they want to replace the woke public school teachers who insist on stuff like pushing social-emotional learning and various other progressive agendas. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is basically that Plato, this fake bot she's imagining, will never end up on libs of TikTok.
Right. And the thing about that also is, how many different times has Elon gotten pissed at Grok because Grok said some woke shit because it was, you know, programmed to interpret reality in that way, so he has to reprogram it to be less woke, and now it's just a Nazi. So it's like, you know, how's that going to happen with Plato, the teacher bot, or whatever? It's either going to be woke if it's honest about, like, the history of the Civil War or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Or it's, you know, going to be saying Hitler was pretty rad, if you think about it. Like, it's going to be one of those two things. And I know, I guess a lot of them probably just want the second thing that's a feature, not a bug. But, yeah, I just, you know.
It's also the part where the AIs keep generating nude images of underage kids. So, like, if you leave this thing, robot, alone with your kids, there's a 50-50 chance their kid gets molested by a fucking robot. This whole thing's so horrifying. So this did lead to a backlash from the homeschool movement, even the MAGA wing of it, because obviously it would. They could have just asked somebody why they homeschooled their kids. It's not just to get away from the wokeness. It's to personally teach their kids their values.
Right.
And also to spend more time with their children, because they do love their children. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's just insanely inhuman. Like, let's give, like, they think anybody would be into this. Let me quote here. The introduction of Plato comes as a backlash against the use of screens and educational technology in schools has begun to get real on both the left and the right. The backlash against the omnipresence of iPads and Chromebooks in public school has resulted in lawmakers in the reddest and the bluest states looking at legislation to change the situation. It's a comical version of this. Josh Shapiro got a bunch of shit online this last week. He was trying to promote the fact he was pushing back against the prevalence of screens in classrooms, but one of the things he signed was mandating the kids learn cursive.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a bunch of shit for it. Not because learning cursive is bad. I'm not against learning cursive. I don't really understand the point of it. But, it's just so small.
Right.
Like, the Trump administration is like, we're going to fire all the teachers and give you a robot maid. And you're like, I'm going to make them learn cursive. Right. it just feels like, bro, what are you doing here? You know, I don't know, but cursive's fine. So technology education is, let me quote here from historian Audrey Walters. Technology education always arrives making utopian noises and leaves behind mixed results. We're talking about like one of the claims about putting, like, it was a big liberal thing. Mark Zuckerberg, remember when Mark Zuckerberg was a huge liberal donor? He basically supplied laptops to all the kids in a New Jersey school district and was hailed as a liberal icon. Because the idea was like one laptop per kid's going to fix inequality in schools.
Right. Yes, right. Yeah, I remember all that. Inner city schools and stuff, they don't have computers and all that shit. Uh-huh. Yeah, we got to, good. Computers in every school and everything. I know. I was just thinking about this the other day. I know we've sort of talked about this before, but it's like, I'm sure you're going to push back on this, and I'm sure you're probably going to be right. But I feel like there was a period of time there, and perhaps it was just a naive time, but when there was this like advancement happening or whatever, and it seemed like most of the things that happened that you could see how they could be good, or they did like improve people's lives. I was thinking about this because of GPS. Like, with like GPS that came out, all of a sudden GPS is on your phone and it's free, and you're like, this is fucking incredible. Like, for somebody with no sense of direction like me, what, holy fuck. And you just take it for granted now. And there was a period of time where most technological advancements sort of felt like that, right? And then a shift just happened, just like a shift in our entire culture and society and everything about it. And I guess it's just end stage capitalism or something, but like, and we finally crossed some sort of Rubicon or something, but it just happened. And now it's like, it just goes the other way. It's like it just gets more and more dystopian, and every new advancement is just like, you know, frightening and dangerous and shit or whatever, and it's like making people's lives worse and stuff, and it's like I don't know, it's just been a hard turn into.
I was going to bring this up later. I think the GPS is a good analogy, because GPS is great, right? But GPS works for you. Do you remember, if you listen to GPS too much, it'll get you in trouble? And there's a very funny episode of The Office where Michael Scott follows a GPS till he drives into a lake. Remember that story? Right.
Yes.
What the fundamental dynamic here is, they're flipping it from like where GPS is a tool you use to you being a tool that the GPS uses.
Mm-hmm.
Like, your kid now listens to the robot teacher, right? We're about to talk about a school district where teacher's aides work for an AI teacher. It's just like, it's a fundamental. I'd say this to talk about sometime in the future, but there's a new company they just launched. The basically is a task rabbit that lets AI agents hire human beings to do tasks for it. The basic idea, if you like ask an AI agent
when they need a flesh bag for something.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So if you have your AI agent, like, I need this stuff taken care of for me. And one of them is like, for example, I don't know, dropping off and picking up your dry cleaning. So you ask your agent to take care of that. It's like, on it, sir. And then now the AI agent can hire like somebody via TaskRabbit to come pick up your laundry and drop it off. Right?
Right.
But I don't want to work for a robot anyway. It's fucking undignified.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, yeah. So I want to talk about one example of the utopian promises of AI schooling. I go in depth on it. This is about a school in Chicago that's opening this fall. It's a new location of a chain of school called Alpha Schools. Opening in Lakeshore East, and it says this AI-driven model can help students learn core academics in just 2 hours a day, freeing up time for workshops, unique projects, and learning various life skills. And I'm guessing if you're working 2 hours a day learning 2 hours a day and then doing other stuff for a tech company for the rest of the day, I'm assuming it's slave labor to make microchips, but maybe they're letting them have fun and play outside. So Alpha boasts that its model helps students excel in learning while gaining a general affection for school. In 24-25 year-end reflection, Alpha founder Mackenzie Price said that in a survey of its 1,000 K-12 students at 13 schools around the U.S., 94% said they, quote, love school, with 60% saying they would rather go to school than on vacation. That's a huge red flag to me. If your kid likes school that much, they're not doing enough fucking school, I think.
Right, probably, yeah. This is already happening. This has been happening. There's a fully AI school in Chicago that operates.
This is the new location. There have been other. We're about to talk about other examples from another location of this. We'll get to in a little bit, but like this is a chain of schools that is growing rapidly called Alpha Schools. Yes, wow. With a tuition of $55,000 a year, it will be one of the most expensive private schools in Chicago to let your kids play on a vibe-coded ChatGPT extension.
Kidding me? Who is doing that? If you're paying $55,000 a year, you should have like, fucking PhDs should be teaching your kids fucking finger painting and shit. Like that's uh-huh. You know what I mean? Like that's people with like some credentials and shit, but like just people, not a fucking computer program or whatever, you know, like just put on like a headset and just, you know, that should be cheaper. Like that should be the cheaper option. I don't think anyone should do it, but it should be like, do you want the private school experience, but you don't have that kind of money? For only this amount, a fraction of the amount, you can do, because we're not paying any teachers. We're not doing it. It's all AI. Oh, this is the miracle of AI. And, you know, your kid fucking turns 18 and doesn't know algebra or whatever, but that's a tomorrow problem. But you'd think that would be the pitch, the idea that it's that, but it's the most expensive option, that don't even make any fucking sense to me. I'm sure it's being sold as like, well, it's so superior to everything else. You will have Uber children if you do this. Mm-hmm. But I just don't get that. That's crazy.
Like, for the thing that killed me is, like, they're apparently, like, so they have the AI teacher, the computer, the kid's on a screen with an AI teacher or the program teaching them stuff or whatever. But they are teachers. They call them guides. They call their paraprofessionals or teachers aides or whatever. They call them guides. They're hiring for that at $100,000 a year. You do have to have a college degree, but no teaching experience or certification. So they're paying more than teachers make. I don't know what Chicago teachers make, more than what most American teachers make. To be an unqualified teacher who works for a robot, which makes me think people get this as undignified and they don't want to report to a robot, so they have to pay some sort of premium for it, which is part of the reason.
What does that person do? So there are humans involved?
Yeah.
And they do what?
I guess usher the kids around the school because the robot doesn't have a physical being. Just make sure the kids don't get into trouble because the robot is a screen. It can't stop kids from hitting each other.
Yeah, right. Okay,
but like my thing is like the $55,000, like this company touts their test scores, that the kids get better test scores than kids in regular school. I'm like, a fucking course they do.
Uh-huh.
They got rich parents who care a lot about their kids' education. They would be getting good test scores no matter what the fuck they were doing. The biggest indicator whether or not a kid does well in school is whether or not its parents keep up with stuff and read books to them.
Yeah,
so
it's also like it's debatable heavily, but just how much test scores really indicate anything. You know what I mean? Like you could teach to just to prepare a kid to do well on a test, and that doesn't mean that they actually were educated well or whatever,
right?
You know, so like there's also that.
Yeah, so the curriculum combines software developed by the school with licensed third-party educational apps like Khan Academy, Mimbian, Mintava, and MobiMax. So you go to your parent teacher night, and it's like, this is my son's teacher, a formless e-spectre named MobiMax. So many of the projects they do after their schooling are entrepreneurial in nature. They have included students opening and managing their own food truck, participating in TEDx Youth Talks, creating apps, and even managing their own Airbnb. We're teaching your sixth grader how to manage an Airbnb? Yeah. Nuke our fucking society from orbit,
Landlords 101 middle school class at fucking...
Running an Airbnb, and I have friends, I think Airbnb is a bad concept, but I have friends who do it. You got to operate an economy you live in. I'm not sure anyone who runs an Airbnb, but I'm saying that, like, running an Airbnb is not a sixth grader's dream.
Yeah.
My niece is in sixth grade. She wants to get a college volleyball scholarship to a school with a good marine biology program.
Mm-hmm.
That is a sixth grader's dream. It's a beautiful dream. If she said she wanted to run an Airbnb, I would try to get custody of her and wonder what my sister was doing wrong.
I don't know. Sounds like she might not be enough of a hustler, Mark. Not sure if she's grinding hard enough, if you ask me.
This part killed me. This is a story about the benefits of this school. A 2026 Stanford review of more than 800 academic papers found that while evidence shows that AI can help improve students' performance, the benefits are less clear when students are later asked to work without AI support.
No shit.
So when the AI is giving them the answers,
it's
they
just
do great.
Just doing it for you. I know. Yeah. I thought that was like the most immediately evident problem with this out of the whole thing. Meaning, like, as soon as ChatGPT came out, it's like, oh, we got an epidemic at colleges and shit because kids are just using ChatGPT to do their, you know, to do their work. And professor, it's new, so people aren't prepared for that and whatever else, and they're having to catch up. And it's like clearly a problem. So, you know, that's. I always love it whenever science. I know that, you know, you got to do it and codify it at some point, but whenever scientists, whenever a study comes from the halls of, like, you know, no shit Sherlock, you know, that field of branch of science, it's always fun.
It is worth looking into. It's like, when AI feeds you an answer, do you remember it later? No. You're trying to judge whether it works, but obviously it doesn't. Like, so, anyway. It's worth double checking, but you're right. It's no. It's like you had to confirm, but we all suspected. But obviously, like, no fucking shit, right? It's right. Like it's like an open book test is better. It's better because you used to find the information yourself. But like, I watched a viral video from a teacher who was talking about how a student had reported him to administration and had to have a meeting with her parents because she asked him a question and he responded with a series of questions to lead her to figure out the answer. And she got so mad, she went to the principal. But they had explained to her the Socratic method. And she, what she was frustrated with is, like, when I ask ChatGPT, it tells me the answer.
Right. Yeah.
And he hadn't done that because he was actually teaching her. She lost her shit.
Think critically or whatever. Yeah, right. That's the whole point of that.
Oh, so, yeah, the one in Chicago is opening, but I wanted to talk about the experiences of a student at a location that's been around for a few years in Brownsville, Texas. This is from a story last fall. The headline is, Parents Fell in Love with Alpha School's Promise, Then They Wanted Out. It's about a woman named Christine Barrios, his 9-year-old daughter, who got stuck on a lesson in a program called IXL at this Alpha School. IXL is a personalized learning software that served as her math teacher. What the program asked her to do was to multiply 3 3-digit numbers without using a calculator, right? And then she had to do it again more than 20 times. And this kid was good. The 9-year-old kid was good at math. She could do a bunch of three-digit multiplication in her head. But what the program was asking her to do, and she had to get 20 in a row correct before she could move on.
Mm-hmm.
She missed one. That's only 95% correct. She had to do the test over again. I was thinking back to, there's a guy who played the NBA in the 90s called Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf. He converted to Islam. That's what his name was. I forget when he played in college. When he was on Shaq's team at LSU in college. But when I read profiles of him, they talked about his OCD like it was a superpower because he was a point guard who shot, like, I think this NBA set the NBA record at that time for free throw percentage in a year. Because when he practiced free throws, he had to make 20 in a row, swish with the net snapping just correctly before he'd let himself go home from practice.
Yeah.
That was his brain, the disease he had to deal with. This computer is giving this girl OCD as a condition of her education. She got so much anxiety. Let me read here, sorry. Since she could do 3-digit multiplication correctly most of the time, but whenever she made an error in IXL, the software would determine she needed more practice and assign her more questions. She told her mom that she asked her guide, who's the human in the room, the adult supervisor classroom in lieu of a teacher, to make an exception to let her move on. The guy's reply was that she needed to get it done because the robot fucking says so.
Right.
The guide works for the robot. This theme's we're going to come back to that. Over the next weekend, her mom says, she and her husband sat with her daughter for hours each day until she finished the multiplication lesson. Even if she broke down and sobbed, she'd rather die than keep going. This is a 9-year-old doing her math homework for multiplication. You're not supposed to want to die while looking at a calculator until you're 40 doing your fucking taxes. Right? This is a school that claims they're doing Montessori school computers. They're making learning more fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So she fell behind trying to please the robot and started skipping lunches to try to make up to meet the robot's deadline and deadlines and shit. So she lost weight to the degree they took the daughter to a pediatrician who prescribed snacks throughout the day that weren't part of the school's normal routine and curriculum. Right?
There you go. So that doctor.
Yes.
Prescribed snacks. That's what I'm talking about. It's like, no, doctor's orders these Cheetos. I'm supposed to have Cheetos at 2 p.m.
There you go. Yeah,
I'm sure they were healthy snacks, and that's less fun. But, you know, anyway, good for the doctor.
I had a buddy in Dallas. His family's Indian, which is relevant to the story, because his dad didn't drink. But he had some sort of, like high blood pressure or something where the doctor prescribed him one beer a day, which really hit for him, but he didn't want to drink in front of his wife. So his one beer a day would be a 40-ounce, and he would drink it alone in the bathroom.
There you go. Still counts. Doctor says.
So what you want is that guy's doctor. Yeah. So this nine-year-old girl just trying to learn multiplication tables, and she has to get 100% 995, right? So one afternoon, she came back with her medically prescribed snacks still in her backpack, uneaten. The mom, alarmed, asked Alpha if it was providing different food instead, and the nine-year-old said no, they weren't. She told her mom the staff of the school had said she didn't earn her snacks and wouldn't get them until she met her learning metrics according to the robot. We have a nine-year-old slaving in a multiplication table coal mine. The robot says your child has not earned her allotted nutritional paste yet.
Right. Yeah.
Like... I do not understand, like what this is for. Like, I understand that the problem they're trying to solve is America has a teacher shortage crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Because parents gone insane, started burning books, and accusing every teacher of being, like, part of the trans agenda.
Right, and they never got paid well anyway, so why the fuck would you want to do that job, and, you know, now that half the country hates them for no good reason or whatever.
My sister was telling me that, like, this older neighbor they have... was talking to her about how all the kids have litter boxes in schools, right? That old thing. And my sister was like, try to be nice to this 80-year-old guy, because what's the point in fucking correcting him? He's going to be dead soon, but he thinks he can have these stupid fantasies or whatever. And she's like, I can only tell you what's happening in my school. I've never seen a litter box. And I don't think that any janitor, whatever they may, would be cleaning out human poop out of a litter box, like in the United States. I just don't think that's the case. And he goes, look... The guy basically is like a wink and a nod. It's like, I know the truth, but I understand why you can't say.
Yeah, right, dude. Oh, my God.
The cabal is going to have my sister, like, Epstein if she tells the truth about the litter boxes in her fucking elementary school classroom. So the teacher shortage crisis is about 110 teachers, 110,000 teachers nationwide in 2023-24, according to the Learning Policy Institute, with projections indicating this could grow to nearly 200,000 by the end of this year. Their fear is the problem will be compounded by recent cuts to federal funding, which have only exacerbated this fucking problem. So Alpha's promise to replace teachers, you know, a teacher who never calls in sick, who you can... teach to be not woke. We'll only teach your kid what it wants to learn. And also is so efficient. It gets your kids 8 hours worth of learning done in 2 hours. They can start learning how to run their own Airbnb, right? This is the promise of Alpha Schools. And the promise has propelled it from a small Texas private school into a budding educational empire and a darling of the Trump administration and rich assholes everywhere. And here's Linda McMahon being asked about it last week.
And what is your take on these Alpha Schools that are new to the backdrop?
Well, I've actually visited the Alpha School in Austin, Texas, and was so impressed by that. And one of the things that you explained is, you know, absolutely being able to double down for students he's proficient in. But the Alpha School that I visited, the first 2 hours of every day, every student is getting AI instruction and a different subjects.
All right. You got it. When you see Linda McMahon talk about other stuff, she's not nearly this well-versed on it. Like 6 months ago, she called AI A1. Remember that? We showed the clip?
Yes.
She thought it was a steak sauce. Now she knows all the talking points for why everyone should be going to AI schools, right? Which is like the step between here and the homeschooling version is the Melania bot.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as far as Alpha Schools, a guy named Joe Lamant, who's a Stanford dropout turned tech founder whose billions come from selling automation software, is the school's principal. This past summer, hedge fund manager Bill Ackman, big Trump supporter and anti-Mandami guy in New York, promoted the school on X and hosted a panel about it in the Hamptons. Reid Hoffman, the big Democratic donor and founder of LinkedIn, has had proponents of Alpha Schools on his podcast and said on X that, quote, the best news is that Alpha's AI tutor approach, quote, can be a reality for every student anywhere. But I bet not your fucking kids, Reid. And listen here, I don't doubt this hits for some kids, right? It is a real problem for schools that one size doesn't fit all for kids in any sort of way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
It happens. That's why you want smaller classes in general, mm-hmm. which is why you should invest more in teachers. So teachers are having to deal with 20 to 25 kids with different learning approaches rather than 40, right? But, like, I don't think we should be creating schools that are customized to the most independent, only self-starting kids who can learn how to do their homework on their own and also emotionally able to handle the pressure of being able to do homework under you don't get to eat if you don't get it done sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't want to, you know, I don't want this to sound how it might sound, but, you know, I was a huge, huge dork, big fat nerd as a kid, so I always made good grades and stuff. So my sons, they also are nerds. They make good grades and everything. And during COVID, and they were like elementary school kids, and they were all this, they did pretty much fine with it, right? But, like, so I was shocked to hear later, you hear all these horror stories about, like, all these kids that are their age, like, can't read when they're now in fifth or sixth grade or whatnot, and it's because they got, like, so far behind or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, damn, I'm glad that didn't, because I was just, I had my own shit going on, Mark. I was gaining 40 pounds. I was fucking learning to bake bread. I was checked out, dog, you know, but that, not checked out. I don't know what the right word is, but I was, you know, I was going through it too. Okay. So yeah. I was like, I'm glad mine were just good with that, you know, cause could have been a real disaster, but that's like you said, they're very different. That's what makes a good teacher in the first place is being able to understand and recognize the different kids respond to different things or whatever, you know, even like a human teacher that does like a one size fits all or a blanket approach is not going to be as successful. So you can't just apply this same thing to every kid out there.
Right. As like, what really got me here is like, I mentioned earlier, this is in Brownsville, Texas, the school Alpha Scar in Brownsville, and what else is in Brownsville? SpaceX. Right.
Okay.
So when asked why Alpha had chosen to open a school in Brownsville, parents say they recall that Lehman responded, that's the guy who's the principal, said for SpaceX. So you're asking what plans for your kids are if they're not Airbnb owning SpaceX engineers. I guess those kids will need janitors, provided those janitors are cheaper than humanoid robots that are also doing your laundry and homeschooling someone else's kids. Mm-hmm. So I just think. I don't think any of these people's plans are going to come true, but my God, their plans to the future are fucking bleak,
that's,
dude.
That's what I was about to say, too. It's like, especially with the robot maids and stuff, like, if they suck, which I'll just assume that they'll suck, then it won't, you know, it won't work. I don't care how many, like, rich people they worship tell them you should be doing this. Like, if it doesn't actually do the job, if it isn't good, especially if it's expensive, rich people ain't gonna do that. They'll be like, just, you know, get my Mexican staff back in here. You know, when I hid under the floorboards when ice came by or whatever, wouldn't let them take my, you know, even my indentured servants. I'd rather have those than this bullshit. So that's kind of what I'm clinging to, I guess.
Dude, like your Roomba uploads your fucking data of the maps out of your house to the cloud and shit. I don't know what good where my coffee table is to the overlords, the oligarchs, but they have the information.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, do you want a robot that can walk upstairs with the capability to record video that has LiDAR, knowing when you and your wife go in the bedroom and shut the door?
Right.
Like, I was thinking about if it had a robot made that worked what I want one, even if I had a big, like, I don't want a robot fucking following me around doing shit. Like, how hard is doing your goddamn dishes? Jesus Christ.
Right. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. That's it for this week. Here come the plugs. Come see me on the road if you're in Burlington. Those were all great. Thanks for being there, everybody. Coming up next is Philadelphia. That's right, Philly, and then Raleigh, then Phoenix, all in April. Those will be fun. Then we got Brooklyn in May, and San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Orlando, Florida, and a bunch more, all at TreyCrowder.com. If you would like a palate cleanser, you can check out producer Matt's audio exclusive called Good Skews, Good People Doing Good Things. Find that on the audio feed for this very show. And speaking of this show, if you would like more of it and you want to support the show, you can sign up on Patreon. For $5 a month, you get now ad-free versions of all the primary episodes, but also two additional bonus full-length episodes per month, including roughly quarterly multi-part Q&As we do, skew-and-as we call them. So get some more skews in your life. But either way, if you keep watching on Tuesdays, we'll keep being here for the knots anyway, till everything goes up in flames. See you. Bye. Love you.